cool. So basically, just to let you know what's going on this morning, is we're just going to talk about our vision for youth and children's ministry. So I think what happens is a lot of times throughout, sort of on a Sunday morning, we say to the young people, hey, you're released. And most of us don't have a clue where they go and to do what. And the idea is we've taken a responsibility as a church, whether you realize it or not, to raise up the next generation. It's like, I hope you get that. Because some of us just come and we're like, gimme, 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 me, 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 feed me, I'm a little bird, okay? Now, that's not most of you. Okay, clearly, that would be unhealthy. But we want to know, you know, I felt that for you guys to participate in that, it's important that you just know what we're doing. Now, we've done this on occasion with worship, haven't we? To talk a little bit about the vision for worship, for people like Leonie and Rob to share a little bit about where they see that going so you can participate. But I felt like, hey, it'd be good this morning just to talk a little bit about children and youth ministry because there's some neat things happening. You know, how many of you know what the young adults and the teenagers do on a Thursday night over at the lake house? You know, some of you are like, I don't know. I mean, my kids go and I barely know what's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, so we want the people who are leading up these ministries to just give a little bit of insight on that. So that's really what we're here for. And I don't see this as a waste of time. I think it's quite important, actually. So that we can cooperate as a church. We can coordinate. We can communicate. And you can know. If you send your kids next door, you're like, oh, that's why they come home with these verses. That's why they're correcting me when I get mad at that person on the street when I cut them off or whatever. It's like we're trying to see them raised up. Amen? Yeah. Cool. So I just have a few things. We're just going to sort of do an interview stuff because I want these guys to talk about where that is. So maybe just real quickly, you guys can, that's a microphone. If you talk into it, your voice gets really loud. Yep. We can just go around and you guys can just quickly sort of just introduce yourself and sort of what your connection is to this building and this body.
Hello, I'm Dallas, and I help do the high school and intermediate youth with Susan. And I guess some of the kids are out of high school by now, but it's pretty good. All the ones who are out kind of help us lead the group. So, yeah, that's me.
I'm Jabron, and I help organize the Sunday School Children's Church.
And I'm Susan, and I help do the youth group on Thursday nights with Dallas.
I'm Tina, and I do the Sunday School from 0 to 5.
Awesome. Okay, so that's just a few of the people who just sort of give a hand with what we do here. But let's give them a hand, eh? They do an awesome job. They really do. Make them feel. So one of the things that I just sort of, you know, maybe Jeb, maybe you could start. So my wife, Jabron, has been, well, maybe just a bit of your background. I mean, you've been involved in sort of starting and leading youth ministry and children's ministry for longer than many of us have been alive. I mean, you know, oh, okay, funny story real quick, okay? Jabron used to work for a lovely Christian gal over along the way downtown, and one day, she's talking to her, and the gal was talking about sort of some of the difficulties she's had in her marriage because her husband was much older than her. And she turns to Jabron, and she goes, well, you know how that is, Jabron. Yeah. I am 8 months older than Jabron, okay? You know, I'm like, what? You know, and it's not the years, it's the miles. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, honey, I didn't mean it like that, but you clearly dealt with your years better than me. So maybe if you could give a little bit of, I don't mean to, yeah, anyways.
Just stop talking. Okay. Stop talking. Okay. What's that?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so we started out, the church that we were raised up in, it was kind of a small group. We were all quite young. We were the only ones that had kids, a child at the time, Tara. And we didn't have an organized Sunday school, and so I approached the pastor's wife and just said, hey, you know, we need to kind of organize. There were some other kids coming along, but we were the only ones in leadership that had any children. And so she was kind of like, well, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, go ahead, do something. I'm like, I don't know what to do either. So anyways, I ended up going to a couple of children's ministry conferences and, yeah, basically just kind of built that Sunday school from the ground up. It was quite exciting. So I've done that a couple times. I think, who knows those Betty Luke and Felt boards, you know, with all yeah. the figures, you know, those bio. Okay, I have cut out three of those. Okay, hundreds and thousands of felt figures. And the fact that the preschool class does not use them really... No, I'm just
Way too many of
I know, I'm just teasing you. Yeah, so anyways, I've got like permanent cramping in my right hand from scissors, from cutting out thousands of pieces of those felt boards. But really...
And we're taking the last one with us if we ever go anywhere. Kidding, kind of.
Yeah, so we... Our Sunday school next door, we all started out in just one big class with all of us, and then we've just kind of slowly broken things down. We've got the preschool class, so 0 to not quite 5, and then 5 to 10. We had an intermediate group for a while, and the kids all kind of got a little bit older, and now they're mostly involved in the youth. And then we've got a high school young adult group. So that's kind of the breakdown of youth, children's and youth ministry.
And how would you sort of summarize maybe, I'm going to get to specific visions of folks in just a second, but how would you summarize the overall vision of youth ministry, of youth and children's ministry?
Oh, I think we want our young people to know that God loves them and to feel that church is a fun and safe place to be. So we love them, God loves them, and that church is a fun and safe place to be. Yep.
You know, and I think Jabron and I don't know about you, but we've been in churches, and you guys probably have too, where it seems like the church is sort of held up as a museum. You know, where it's like, don't touch anything. Don't do that. Don't spill that. Don't take that, you know, and there's signs everywhere. Don't sit on this. Don't touch, you know, and you're like, you know.
I do chase the kids out, though, if they've got food. I do chase them.
Yeah, that's because I'm tired of digging peanut butter out of the microphones, you know. Yeah. But, you know, so one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted church to be a place where when the kids came, and I think this is sort of what you're getting to, they would be like, we like going to church. You know, like it's a fun place. I was literally assaulted by 2 children this morning. You know, and it was like, and I spot, I'm not going to say whose they were. Leonie. You know, but it's like, I'm glad that as the pastor of the church, the kids feel comfortable to assault me, literally, physically, and I still hurt.
You're going to jail, I think is what one of
them. Yeah, see, and I can be corrected by those young ones, too, you know, but the idea is we did want it to be a place where the kids feel like this is our church, too. It's not some place they had to go. So a safe place where the kids could know that Jesus loves them and that they are loved?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so just, I wanted to sort of get to sort of some specifics. So maybe just sort of starting once again from this side, you know, with regard to sort of what you guys do, I want to get the vision and then we'll talk about the specifics in a little bit. So maybe just give a real quick breakdown, Dallas, of what you guys sort of do on a Thursday. We'll get into some more detail, but, and then talk about what your vision is for that.
So we usually start off bit of a just hanging out really. When everyone gets here, they kind of hang out.
Well, so talk about where you guys are at, because I think some people don't know. We kind of outgrew sort of a.
Yeah, well, so we were at the church, but there was holes going in the walls and all that kind of.
They're still there.
and there was quite a few kids that started coming, so we moved to the lake house. And also every fortnight, every second week, we go down to the Credo Park and play b-ball and whatnot down there just because. Enjoy the sun while the sun's out, and we've got daylight savings. But at Credo, at the lake house, we start off with hanging out, a bit of worship and a word. Then we'll go and play some games and, I don't know, some team building, I guess, or just hanging out together but getting to know one another. We have a bit of a feed of pizza, and then we finish off with some prayer, and that's what we kind of do, I guess.
Yeah. So once again, so... I think the great question that a lot of people are going to ask is why? What are you hoping to accomplish with those young ones? I mean, you've done a lot of talking so far, bro. That's really good.
So I guess the main thing is for us is just to help draw out the potential in the children, helping them with their identity and knowing who they are and just walking in the knowledge of knowing who they are in Christ as well and being comfortable with that and confident with that and just carrying that light into every area that they're in, whether it be in school or work or polytech and stuff. That's kind of what we try to do, and just really build relationship with them. That's kind of key, is when they come, you know, to build that relationship. And it took us probably a good year, to try to kind of sift through and figure everything out and just figure out what each strength of each child was, how they respond to things, how we interact with them, and just basically getting to know them. And now there's like a cool, really cool bond. And for us, it's not just a ministry that's from 7 to 9 on a Thursday night. It's like we're fully invested in these youth, so that they know that, you know, we're here for them whenever they need. And we get a lot of that, you know, catching up with them during the week. And there's a lot of issues going on with some of these children that need a bit more work.
So you mentioned two things there that I think have been key, you know, to developing that ministry, and that's relationship and identity. Can you just maybe unpack that a little bit more? Or not? That's cool. I mean, so what are you trying to build, like in their identity? What are you trying to?
Just unlocking that potential in them, their identity. Just kind of knowing who they are and what their gifts are, and in this generation and their culture, and
So gifts, culture, potential, like that, that's all locked up in identity.
Yeah, yeah, and just confidence and knowing who they are, and not having that fear of man.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's a big thing. I see a lot of that, and it seems to be a lot worse these days, you know, with so much more pressures that the kids are having to deal with, as opposed to my generation and then generation before that, especially with social media and stuff as well. There's a lot of chaos and confusion going on in some kids' heads.
Yeah, and like you say, it's not sort of just like, hey, Thursday night, we get together. It's going on throughout the week, like you guys are having some interaction with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to give a perfect example, I mean, one of the things I want to point out is why I love this group of people so much is because my kids, who are all effectively adults now, have been the product of this environment that these guys have created. You know, it's like, one of my sons was up here helping with worship this morning. The other's back on a consistent basis working on the sound desk and the video. You know, my daughter is in the States at university. She's a leader in her university group at church. You know, it's like, that's a direct product of what these guys have put into them. And I remember one of my sons had sort of a neat thing happen in their life. And he said, oh, I need to text Susan. You know, it's like they're building that relationship. And I think that that's so key to the young people at this stage. So if you'll notice, it's kind of like, look, we want kids to come in knowing that they're loved and they're safe. And then from that foundation, we can get into a place of establishing identity. You know, and I don't know how many of you could have benefited from that as a young person, but I definitely could have. So, Tina, why don't you know what goes on? I mean, in the zoo,
we have a party.
Yeah,
just celebrating in God's word and just nurturing and encouraging them. The vision for them is to make long life disciples of Christ, and that's it.
Amen. That's definitely. See, Tina's used to dealing with the little ones. Short, concise, to the point, and no questions. So, one of the things, you know, I sort of asked was, you know, each one of you to just sort of come up with a verse that's kind of a guiding principle for you within sort of children's ministry and youth ministry, and just sort of biblically what's been the inspiration for you in that area. So, Jeb, maybe you could.
I really like from the Gospels where Jesus says, I mean, it's pretty obvious, let the little children come unto me, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is like these little ones. And that's one of the really exciting things I think about Sunday school is seeing the... expectation that a lot of these kids have for God to do things in their life and for God to be such a huge part of their life. I one day in particular really stands out to me. Usually, I mean, what we do in there, can I say what we do in there as well?
Oh, please.
Yep. So we usually go in and we usually sing a few songs together, some of the old Sunday school songs, you know, the wise man builds his house on the rock, get some of those wiggles out. And then we are going through the New Testament right now, kind of hitting those major points of Jesus' ministry, because we want the kids to understand this is what Jesus did and this is what you can do. You can pray for people who are sick and see them healed. You can offer comfort to people. One day we had somebody come up the stairs, just this random person come up the stairs, and I don't know, he was just kind of looking in this room, what's going on in here? But he didn't go inside. And just that morning, little Lizzie Peek was like, I want to do something for God. You know, I want to do something. I don't want to just read and learn the Bible. Like, I want to do it. And so I went out to talk with him, and he just kind of seemed like he was really he's an older guy, really discouraged. I said, Lizzie, come on out here. Let's pray for him. And so she put her hand on his arm, and she started praying for him. And she was like, Lord, I just pray. I mean, he was crying by the time she was done, because it was like God was just speaking to her exactly what this man needed to hear. I pray you would comfort him. I pray you would come alongside of him and bring him someone to talk to. Lord, I feel like he's lonely. I mean, it was just like, it was amazing. And this guy was like, okay, my wife's downstairs. He was kind of freaked out by the whole thing. But obviously, like, God touched him, you know? I haven't seen him since. But that's not me and Lizzie's responsibility. You know, it's like we did what we were supposed to do. And that's what I really want to see in Sunday schools. I want to see these kids empowered to take the love of Christ that they learn here, that they're learning in their homes, and actually go and do it in their schools, in their families, in this community. Amy's boys, they're like, hey, let's do communion at school. They're like leading their friends in communion. I mean, that's pretty
cool,
amazing. You know, but so that's, yeah, that's, what was the question again? I kind of ran out of attention. There you go. Yeah, exactly. Let the little children come unto me, because this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like, it's having the faith of the child that God's going to do something. God's going to intervene. I get to be a part of this kingdom and of bringing heaven on earth. So that's my verse there.
Mine's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And so for a lot of... there hasn't been a lot, but there has been a few who have come in and they've felt hopeless. And like there's nothing for them to do and there's no future for them. So my plan... what I really want to do is try to show them that God has got something for them that's amazing and beautiful. And it doesn't matter where they are. You know, they can come out of any situation on top with the Lord and say,
awesome, man.
Okay, so mine is 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. And that goes with us helping them. Just what I spoke about before, drawing out their identities in them, and not necessarily because some of them kind of think, you know, what do I say? How do I say it? But sometimes it's just being that example. You know, you can just carry that presence of God, and people will just be drawn to you.
You read it, and I'll tell you. Okay, please turn to Proverbs 22:6. She's got my brain, it's on here. Train
up a child. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart.
Oh, Bob's already said that. So. Does it say
they won't die for people?
Oh, okay, this one's different. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
So it's giving them that foundation?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. So I think one of the things I want you guys to understand is, like, within the context of what goes on a Thursday night at the Lake House or down at Quirau Park, there's a significant number of youths and young adults that come along to that who don't necessarily show up consistently on a Sunday morning or ever. And part of the reason is because these guys are creating an environment through who they are and just through love of getting some of these ones who are in, you know, I think some of them in less than ideal home situations, but they come along, and some of them, I'll look at them, and I'm like, you know, the kids, they maybe act up a little bit, you know, they sort of act out a little bit, and I'm like, what's going on here? But they always come back, you know, and it's like, so we're, you know, with the ones that we have who come here, obviously we're taking a responsibility. Hopefully we are taking a responsibility to see them raised up. But guys, we're making inroads into the community. We'll have 30 plus youth show up on a Thursday night on a very consistent basis. And the thing is they have good, clean fun. You know, they play ping pong. They play, what do you call it with the noodle things. What is there even a name for that game? It's just, it's yeah, noodle tag. It's just like beat people with pool noodles. You know, and it's like they're just having a good time. Like Jabron said, getting the wiggles out, even at that age, you know. But these guys have vision, and maybe, Susan, you could talk about that, some of the, that you've, you know, in building that identity, how you want to bring in some people from outside and to develop some of that.
I guess it's helping them choose what career paths they want to take too. So we just want to bring in kind of, I guess, like motivational speakers and stuff, people from the community that have a lot of influence on youth who have also come from backgrounds where they've struggled and survived so that kids can relate to them as well. So we want to get like Israel in, someone from the police, my friend Billy, who's starting up a school for like troubled youth. What else? Just all different types of walks of people.
And that's part of building their identity, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is it's like they can see. Yeah. So like, here's the thing. So often we just want to like share the gospel with young kids. And is that important? Absolutely. But there's this sort of comma, then what? And so what I love about what, you know, Dallas and Susan, these guys are sort of developing is the then what is, well, let's talk about your career path. Let's talk about where maybe you want to go. Do you realize that, you know, it's important to, like, show up on time to a job interview? How many of you know that? Okay. It is, just by the way. You know, maybe throw on a collared shirt. I don't know. Let's be crazy here. You know, it's like just giving them a little bit of help in the practical areas as well and to get those people in and say, hey, look, here's some people who maybe struggled in some of these areas as well, but they're overcoming. One of the things I tell my kids, if you want to choose a mentor, don't choose somebody who's in the same situation as you. I hope that's not radical to anyone, okay? If you choose a mentor, choose someone who's where you want to be. And that's what these guys are doing. So I love that. Now, one of the questions I'm going to ask you guys before I sort of take it is, what can the church do to help? You know, if we are taking that aspect of responsibility on, you know, what can the church do to help?
Outdoors. My little kiddies room is always open for anyone that wants to come and join the party.
And is it rewarding? I mean, there's
very rewarding. My grace.
But it's like, so they can come in and like, don't be afraid, eh? Like, it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
And is there, would you say there's a need for people to just give a hand?
There is a need there, as the more kids we get.
Yeah. So it's like you either stop reproducing or you guys are like, yeah, no, seriously. Or come in and give a hand with children's ministry. Yeah.
I guess just prayer. And if you see any of them in church on their phones, just words of encouragement to them. You'd be surprised at what it can do. Just, you know, so like even today, here in the worship, man, that's really awesome to see that and just how much they've grown. And, you know, just a pat on the back or just words of encouragement and speaking into their life, you know, who they are.
I got together with a lot of the Sunday school teachers on Sunday night a week ago. Is it a week ago? 2 weeks ago? Last week, thank you. We just had dinner together here, and I cooked. So I cook for my Sunday school teachers, so that there's an incentive to come along. But also, we just kind of talked around about I ask everybody, what do you like best about teaching Sunday school? And almost everybody said, I like the relationship that I have with these kids. I like, it is really rewarding to get to know these kids. They're amazing. You know, they're amazing. And I think Ben was saying that he really wanted to really instill in them, like, kind of practical, like, life lessons from the Bible. So as they grow older, you know, they might be in a situation, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I remember, you know, this lesson or this particular word, this particular part of Scripture, and to be able to apply it to that situation. And I think the idea of teaching Sunday school can be kind of a scary thing to a lot of people. Oh, you know, I don't know the Bible enough. We equip you. We've got lessons. We've got stuff. We want to come alongside people and help them. And I have found on the days that I teach Sunday school, I'll be candid. There are some days where I'm just like, I really don't feel like doing this. Like, I'm tired, or I've had a hard week, or whatever. And I get in there, and inevitably God shows up, and I'm encouraged, I'm built up. Whatever it was that I'm teaching on, it ministers to me. And my faith is challenged. And it's, you know, I'd like to see every single person in this church go in and just teach, to share, to get to know some of these kids. They're, like I said, they're amazing. And it's a lot of fun, and it's not really scary. It's it's a good time.
Yeah, I guess that's what Susan said, prayer and encouragement for the youth, and also we're trying to do more things out of town, so perhaps with giving rides and stuff if you can, if you're available, and little bits and pieces like that could help out quite a bit. But, yeah.
Cool. I just want to open up to any of the sort of the folks who help out with children's ministry, youth ministry, on sort of any level. If you just want to have a quick comment about maybe your experience, or just a quick comment, anyone just want to sort of jump in, even some of the youth helpers and stuff. I don't know if you know, a lot of our high school kids come in and help with the littlies as well, which is a huge blessing, and giving them the chance to sort of step out and learn to serve. Any of those ones, Sarah? Any? Come on, Sarah. You always got something to say, don't you? Oh, okay. There you go. Come on. Give a quick. Sarah's been a real faithful helper over the years. And
one of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've already been out there for you. But it is the developing the relationship with the kids. I'm not out there often, but in the time I am, between the first 2 weeks that I did it and the second pair of weeks that I did it, I discovered that the kids knew me better, I knew them, and we could get more going. We could talk about stuff. I have terrible trouble remembering all the names, but they don't seem to mind that. And they're quite happy for me not to know the actions. They're quite happy to show them to me. It's like, they love to help. It's just great to be out there with them. Often beforehand, I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? Then I get out there, like, I'm so glad I came. I'm so glad I got to do this. It's good. It's really good.
Amen. Cool. So, look, these are some of the folks. Anyone else who's involved just want to say? Nope. Oh, great. Kuya, there we go.
Oh, look at this. They're going to think I'm going to stand up here for an hour. My husband and I do the youth worship.
And so maybe give a little background on that, because that's been a huge sort of outcome of our youth ministry.
I trust that they're doing the word at the youth group. Nah, I have a scripture that I keep hammering into them, and every so often I bring it up and I go, do you remember what Psalm 1 is? And Caleb always does, the rest, no bits of it. But it's, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, hang out with them, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then there's that promise, for he shall be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which
brings forth
its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. If you stand on the word, if you hang out with God's people, if you focus on the Lord, he has that promise that you will be like that tree that prospers. And half of them are my kids, grandkids, and nephew and niece anyway, but I'm not anywhere near as tolerant as the children's church teachers. I was brought up, shape up or ship out, and you know, we tend to be a bit like that.
But you do that with your pastors, too.
But
I'm just kidding.
God has, over the last few years, been teaching me about grace. I was definite legalist. You obeyed the law, and it was more comfortable. If it was up to me, if I'm good, I get good. If I'm bad, I get bad. It was up to me. But that isn't how it is. It's that, and I'm trying to get across to them, I'm not as patient as I probably could, that Jesus has done it all. It isn't up to us. Jesus has done it all on the cross. And we are righteous in him, that he accepts us as we are. And as we come to him, he takes away all those other bits that maybe other people see and don't like. But as we just come to him and focus on him and just love him, he starts to filter away those things that get in the way, because they're just baggage, aren't they? All these things we hang on to are baggage. You can't run the race and win it carrying a whole lot of rubbish. So I tend to spare the rod, spoil the child type of... tend to sort of say, you know, get rid of that stuff and just focus on the Lord. And when you're worshipping, give it your whole heart, you know. Of course, all teenagers are a bit shy at doing things. Oh, does it sound right? Are they listening to, you know, the wrong chord or whatever like that? But we try and encourage them to just enjoy themselves, be who they are in God, and let him, through his Holy Spirit, flow through them. And so they had the opportunity to do some of that this morning, and they've got some more. So, yeah.
I just want Rob just come up real quick. he's all got his feet up. I just want you to speak to maybe sort of what you see, as we've sort of talked about the youth worship team, what you've seen and where they're at versus what you've seen and where they're at versus what you've seen and sort of maybe, you know, the freedom levels and whatnot, you know, compared to maybe where you guys were at. When I was singing a cappella, I'm not.
And they're a lot like how we started. Me and Leonie, and Aaron and her other sister. They're not today. When they started, they're a lot like when we started. We'd play the song as super fast as we could so we could hurry up and get off. Because all I was worried about was everybody's laughing because I made a mistake. And it took a while to focus on why I was up there. Actually, the Lord left me up here by myself. I never sang. I never sang in front of anybody, unless I was doing something else. I will not say what it was, but yeah. Fishing on the rocks. What were you all thinking? But yeah, anyway, the Lord stuck me by myself, no one else, and I had no one to hide behind. And I'm hopefully we don't have to do that with them, because the way you can see, we don't have to. They're already growing a lot in just the last few times they've been up here. Like, it got dusty at the back this morning. The dust was coming out the roof and hitting me right in the eyes.
I hate that.
Mm. Yeah, and I was looking at all of them, and I could see that they've all grown heaps, and their eyes were. And there was parts where they were looking around, but I could see they were singing to the Lord, and they were doing it for the Lord. And I was going, oh, hopefully we had a part to play in that too, like trying to lead by example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Awesome. So look, these are the folks who are sort of involved in those areas. Maybe just a quick hand and a blessing upon the action. Can I just get you guys to stand up just right here real quick? I just want to pray for these guys, right? So if anybody feels led just to come up and just lay hands on these guys just real quick. Anyone? Ready? Go. Russell. There we go. Right. Paul, come on. Let's get a few folks up here. Ooh. If we could just... Where's Marley? Is she here?
Stuck in the
seat. Oh, there we go. I just want to just lift these guys up, because they do. They have a really important role to play within our fellowship, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful because my generations are put in a better place, further along the path, because of these people. So right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the fruit of the womb that you have given us, Lord, that you have given us to be stewards of, Father God. As parents, and as we have turned them over as a church to our leaders, we have seen the fruit, and we just say, it is good. We see the trajectory that you have put our youth on. We see the ability that our leaders have, and we say, thank you. So right now, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be upon each one of them, that through the laying on of hands, through the speaking of words of prophecy over them, that they would accomplish your will in these young people, Lord. That doors of provision would open, that doors of wisdom would open, that doors of opportunity would open, and that your wisdom, which is from above, would go with them in Jesus' name. And all those agreeing said, amen. 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 Awesome. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. So I just to kind of briefly sort of summarize the way I sort of have seen this. I think Rob sort of summed up and, you know, what I see as the goal for children's ministry. And I hope that with each subsequent generation, this is the goal. And it's, I want my kids to be further along than I was at the same age. That's it. That's the only goal I can have. Is I didn't have a strong foundation in the Word. We were having a chat on the way to church this morning with my oldest son. And he had mentioned something. And both Jabron and I were kind of like, no, I don't think that's quite what the Bible said in that. And then he brings out his Bible. We get to church. He says, no, here it is right here, Dad. You know, you're wrong. And I'm like, oh, right. No, I was going to say that. But anyways, you know, you were a little more respectful about it, but effectively, I know that's what you're thinking. So, you know, it's like we want our kids to be a little further along. I tell you, at the same age as my boy, 17, 19, I could barely say John 3:16, you know. So we want them to have that foundation. As we watch the development of an incredible worship team with our adults, we wanted the young people to be more free. You know what I'm saying? We wanted them to feel like, man, we want them to see freedom in Christ earlier than we did, so that they can take it further. And I'll tell you what, something that the Lord really challenged me on with what we call the youth worship team, the team that was up here today, it's really a misnomer. It's not really accurate. There, many of them are adults now. And the Lord challenged me because I was kind of like, oh, well, if the youth are up, then there's certain things that we sort of have to adjust. And the Lord was like, wait, why? Oh, well, I don't know, because they're young. And the Lord's like, well, maybe you need to have a higher expectation of them. Like you guys, through all this coordination of these people up here, whether we feel like we're winning or not, and I didn't ask these guys if they feel like they're winning every week when they go in. You know what I mean? Everybody winning every week?
Most week.
Most week? Susan? Yeah. Barb? No. Okay. We're at Dallas. Where's Dallas at? You know, I mean, it's like, do we feel like we don't always feel, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we are laying a foundation that gives us the opportunity to go there. And we need to have a confidence in that. At some point, guys, so we do not evolve into old wineskins, we have to give over to the next generation. Biggest problem in the church. So what happens is then the church has to grow cancerous and die because we haven't done a good job in passing along to the next generation. We don't want to make that mistake. So we invite them up to start to express themselves, and we ask the question, well, what do you want to do? What's the Lord telling you to do? So another quick, you know, in creating that expectation, the other thing we want to see is we want to see activation. Okay, we want there to be an expectation of what they can do, but we also want to see activation where, like Jeron said, within, you know, and Tina, within what they do next door with the littlies, they're praying for the sick. These kids are coming to us with visions. They're speaking prophetic words into my life. And I'm like, who told you that, five-year-old? You know? And we're seeing the activation. It's not always, here's your part, is it's not always clean or neat or fun. In my own family, I really felt like we had always been pretty serious about the way that we grounded our children in the Word. And the Lord really challenged me. He's like, look, are you helping your kids develop their spiritual gifts? Are you helping them step into the supernatural? And I was like, ooh. You know, and I'm telling you what the Lord told me. I'm not telling you what he's telling you, but he probably is. Okay. He was saying, Scott, you need to step out and teach your kids about the supernatural. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? He goes, well, why don't you just show them, you know, and I'm not here to debate the theology around speaking in tongues, but he's like, why don't you speak in tongues in front of them? Now, my kids were sort of not young at the time, and I'd never really done that. That was a very important part of my own Christian walk and my own personal edification. I'd never done it. And I've told this story before because it had a deep impact on me. So we get a family devotion going, and we all sit around in a circle, and we all start praying, and I just began to speak in tongues. Yeah, look down in shame, okay? Okay, dude, my kids, they all start belly laughing, like rolling around on the ground howling. Dude, I see Owen's ducking behind that. Okay, look, and I was, you know, just totally in the spirit. And I'm like, that's okay. I will not hearken the children. No, dude, I was livid. How dare you, impotent offspring of the, you know. So, and the Lord's like, offspring of who? And I'm like, Jeron, clearly. But the idea was, is I've gone on from there. And, you know, after recovering from that trauma. Stop. All my kids speak in tongues. They've all received that gift. They've all stepped into that. You know, they've had, I think most of them have even been able to interpret. And the idea is that it's like, it's not always quaint and easy. But ultimately, we want to create an expectation. We want to create an understanding. We want to create an activation. That's why oftentimes when we operate in the gifts, we invite the kids in. I'll tell you, some of the most consistent gift of healing that we've seen manifested in this church are people who are under the age of 20. And that's cool as far as I'm concerned. And so we're going to just keep encouraging that because we want to normalize some things that have been marginalized in the body of Christ. Are you tracking with me? We want to normalize some things that have been marginalized in the body of Christ. How cool would it be if healing was normalized within our church? Does anybody think that would be cool? Would that be convenient to anyone here? Would that be a hand to anyone? You know, yeah, amen. It comes through expectation. It comes through expectation. So we're pushing the next generation further than we were, and that's the goal. Amen? Okay. I think the really, if you want to see a practical outcome of that, it would really be within the worship team that's up here this morning. Is like I had said, the Lord really challenged me. He said, Scott, do you think of these kids as cute, or do you think of them as a weapon? He's like, because they're a weapon. And you need to stop thinking of them as like a sideshow, and you need to actually put pressure on them. Don't panic, guys. To perform as that weapon. But that's what we're creating here. Amen? So here's the thing. I'd like to just to welcome you guys. Is afterwards, if you have more questions about children's ministry, about what goes on at children's ministry, if there's something specific that hasn't been addressed or something that you wonder about what the youth do, talk to Susan. Talk to Dallas. If you want to know what we do with the littlies, talk to Tina. If you want to know what goes on with sort of those intermediate age ones, you know, elementary school age, talk to Jabron. Get some idea. If you want to know, if you have a child or a friend who is in, you know, maybe around 17, 18, 19 years old, who wants to get involved with worship, who has a heart for worship, talk to Barbara. Talk to Paul. Let's see these kids develop their gifts. And that's all about identity, isn't it? I'll tell you what, man. I spent way too much time when I was young trying to be cool. Okay, now the outcome is obvious. but the identity suffered. We believe lies, don't we? And ultimately, we want to come to a place where we understand who the Lord made us to be, not who we want people to think we are. Amen.